left us years ago. So there ain't no fate except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt, and that you don't need the people, cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there but the satellites.
And we are the Nonprofits. I'm Dennis Lube, and along with Jeff D. and Naomi Marmel, we will tempt God's vengeance live from an undisclosed location in Austin, Texas, on the 16th of July, 2014. This show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a demonic nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. And all those who join in its mockery of the Lord are doomed to unending suffering at the end of Satan's pitchfork. Do you imagine you would be allowed past the pearly gates if you learned more about this vile and heretical group by calling their voicemail at 512-220-6561 or visited their website at www.atheist-community.org? No! You would be cast out of God's sight and into perdition. Until God smites them in righteous fury, the Nonprofits will broadcast live every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8:30 Central Time. And you can be certain he will not spare those that join the Nonprofits chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. Nay, all will share in the same fate. So sit down, cover your ears, and shake in mute terror of God's infinite and holy wrath.
Dennis, you've outdone yourself.
Thank you.
Now, yeah, this can't. Thank you. This cannot. This show's been going on for a long time. This can't be the first time you've done a, like, you know, crazed preacher.
No, intro. Actually, I think that's maybe the first time I've done a crazed preacher.
Well, you've been saving it up then, because
yes,
that was awesome.
Apparently.
Hi, everybody. It's me and Dennis and Naomi today. Naomi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well.
Thank you for sitting in for Russell.
Absolutely. I want to reassure people I did not eat him or anything like that. Russell is out for the week. He will be back.
Neither did Satan drag him down to the pits of flaming hell.
That's right. He is not in perdition.
Well, shall we jump right into listener mail?
Why not?
Ready? We got a lot.
We do have listeners, and they do send mail.
We got multiples on some of these issues. Not this one, but there's a lot to get through. On your most recent show, Jeff briefly threw out a hypothesis that maybe you could be crazy, mentally ill, because you are an atheist. Now I just want to inject right here. That's not what I... These shows are done off the cuff, so who knows what words came out of my mouth. The issue I was going after was, is it possible to be an atheist because you're insane, not the other way around?
And yes.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that for the last 2 weeks since the last show, and I still haven't really been able to formulate a specific example. It's just that we know that there are some people who are atheists for bad reasons.
Yeah.
Right? My dog died is really not evidence that there isn't a God.
Right. But somebody could treat it as such.
But there are people that are atheists because of, you know, because they're angry at God. No, you know what? I'm going to even backpedal from that, because I've never actually met one of those people. That's, Christians accuse atheists, you know, right off the top.
Being angry with God.
What did God do to you to make you so angry?
To be fair, that was absolutely me when I was 13.
Was it? Okay.
But I was 13.
Yeah.
But that doesn't rise to the level of crazy.
No.
Right.
But it could. It should be possible. I don't know.
But they keep saying you can't be angry at things you don't believe in. But the problem is, I can be angry at Darth Vader.
Can you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
No, actually?
You look at some of the things he did in the movie and go, you bastard. You know, I mean... Sure, you can be angry at fictional characters.
It's kind of a lower level anger.
Oh, sure, but...
I have no training or education in psychology, but here's my rationale. This guy wrote in to say, it is impossible for atheism to be the cause of mental illness, but religion could be. Yeah, I think we're going to be in agreement with this, right?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to straighten him out at the beginning. This isn't the angle we were going at it from.
Right. Completely reversed.
Mental illness by definition should surely would need to be some sort of disconnection from or distortion of reality by the person. Atheism, or maybe more specifically skepticism, is by definition aligning one's belief with reality.
Depending on how you employ it, yes.
He said he used small R reality, not big R realities. That's perfectly reasonable.
Right. The reality as we perceive it.
Well, and as somebody who does have a small amount of training in psychology, that's also not a very good definition of mental illness.
Would you please straighten us out then?
Well, so the first thing that comes to mind as far as disconnect from reality is clinical depression. I have read evidence that actually people who are clinically depressed have a more realistic take on things, that a certain amount of the optimism that gets us through life is not in fact realistic. But it's still an impairment to functioning in a lot of ways if you're clinically depressed.
It's kind of like people that can't stand cilantro. They don't have a more acute sense of taste. They lack the ability to taste the other flavors in cilantro that people who do like it enjoy.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about this.
I can't imagine how you'd cover up what I do taste with something else, because it's just vile.
I know. Yeah, but tastes are common. Are you a non-cilantro person?
Mm.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm just saying that there have been actual studies.
We're such a downtrodden minority.
What the difference is.
I know.
I'm sad for you, but tastes are combinations of things. There is this dish at the local Vietnamese restaurant, which you put this stuff on it called fish sauce. And the last thing you want to do is smell that, because if you do, you will never, ever put it on your food. But if you don't put it on your food, you do not get the full experience, and the full experience is awesome.
Right.
So it's a combination of flavors that lead to an effect. Now, the reason I went there is because, as Naomi was saying – depressed people don't so much they're not so much out of line with reality as they lack the compensating good feelings that make it all bearable.
There's a combination, but that's definitely part of it. And
right.
The subset of mental illnesses that that involve delusions or the kinds of things that we would be talking about in this case are such a tiny portion of the huge realm of mental illness that the conversation as a whole is a little weird. And then how do you define, are you talking about anything that's in the DSM? Are you talking about personality disorders, or you have like narcissistic personality disorder that doesn't really involve that? It's complicated.
Right. So you don't want to the way this our letter writer Greg from Auckland, New Zealand put it is part of the picture, but not the whole thing.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know. We still, I think, have not got a specific example of a guy who's an atheist because of some mental condition.
I mean,
I can't help but think that it's possible.
I mean, I guess if you had some sort of, you know, if you're in the group, bro, the voices are speaking to you and things. If you have something telling you that, like, oh, God is, you know, God is actually dead and there is no more deity anymore,
the voices are telling me there's no God.
Yeah. Right.
That's possible.
Kind of unlikely.
That's who knows? The voices could tell you anything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not insane just because the things the voices tell you are sensible? All right. So, that was fun. How about a piece of news? You got some news there?
Lots of news, and you had asked for good news to start off with.
We can start wherever you feel most comfortable, but I'm glad you brought news in today.
I've got the good news queued up right now.
And when I say good news, I don't mean that kind. I don't mean like when Christians
sense.
Just repeat the same old crap they've been saying for 2,000 years and then call that good news.
No, this is the...
It's not breaking, that's for sure.
So the headline on this is Humanists Win Right to Solemnize Their Own Weddings in Indiana.
Yay.
A federal court has ruled that humanist couples in Indiana can be married by their own secular celebrants, something that until now was illegal under state law. This was a unanimous ruling by the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. saying that denying humanists the right to be married by celebrants who share their lack of belief in a deity is a denial of their First Amendment rights to freedom of religion. The law up to this point has required marriages to be conducted by religious clergy or government officials. Right. The argument was that this denies humanists the right to be married by celebrants who share their philosophy. It gives preferential treatment to religious people. What the judge writing for the court says is that the current law discriminates not just against humanists, but against members of other faith groups that do not include a deity. Buddhists, Jains, Shintos, Taoists. I kind of like this quote from him. It is irrational to allow humanists to solemnize marriages if, and only if, they falsely declare they are a religion. He wrote, it is absurd to give the Church of Satan, whose high priestess avows that her powers derive from having sex with Satan, and the Universal Life Church, which sells credentials to anyone with a credit card, a preferred position over Buddhists who emphasize love and peace. Like many others, humanists want a ceremony that celebrates their values, not the values of people who will say or do whatever it takes to jump through some statutory hoop. So,
speaking as a minister of the Church of the Subgenius, I applaud this decision.
And what it closes with is an interesting, slightly unrelated thing about how the United Church of Christ pastors in North Carolina are challenging that state's requirement, which says that marriages can only be performed if a couple has a legal marriage license. Because North Carolina does not permit gay marriages, any pastor solemnizing a same-sex union would be committing a crime. Ooh. So even if the expectation is not legal benefits, if it looks like a marriage and it's not legally a marriage, you can't do that. The UCC pastors are saying that their faith compels them to celebrate gay marriages. So, and this is an argument that I've been making for a while, which is that denying anything, making any kind of law on religious grounds is going to then infringe on other faiths that don't share those values.
Right.
There are a lot of religious groups who are perfectly happy to do same-sex marriages. So,
right. You know. So, yeah. Right, sure. As soon as the state steps in on the in support of just a few religious viewpoints and enshrines their views as law. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Just a weird headline, though. It sounds like, you know, solemnize. It sounds like you're taking something that's supposed to be deliriously joyful and making it all, oh, okay, now it's all solemn. And
but there's celebrants, so there's, that brings it back up.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, as long as they are notaries like, public, they should be able to do it.
Isn't that like, this is so awesome.
So, that's right.
Isn't it so great that we're all gathered here?
We're so solemn.
Speaking of enshrining religious views in law.
And you're not talking about the guys on the little go-karts? And...
No, not, okay. Not Shriner.
Oh, okay. Enshriner's
views on in law. There's a very important legal precedent tucked into the Hobby Lobby decision that I didn't hear you gentlemen discuss on your show, brought to my attention by feminist blogger Libby Ann. It is contained in the specific language offering special protection not just for religious belief, but for actual religious claims. According to Judge Alito, quote, the owners of the businesses have religious objections to abortion. And according to their religious beliefs, the four contraceptive methods at issue are abortifacients. If the owners comply with the HHS mandate, they believe they will be facilitating abortions, unquote.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that this morning.
It's that it's all that matters, according to Alito, is that they believe that that those things are abortifacients, which is actually not technically
not
correct of the
yeah,
whole
not
things.
Apparently, not at all.
In other words, it doesn't matter what the facts are. Suddenly, the scientific veracity of a testable claim is irrelevant in the eyes of the law, so long as that claim is believed by some religious numbnuts.
Right.
This new direction carries some ominous implications. Moral objection is no longer necessary if one can simply assert falsehoods and behave accordingly, free of legal repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there was an effort to pass something in the Senate to overturn the Hobby Lobby decision, and it was filibustered
right
by
guess who
the by well by the Republican Party
yes
so
Republican members of the Senate.
What I heard on the NPR piece about that this evening is that they never had any expectation of it passing. They want to use the votes against it in the next election.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And there were three Republicans who broke ranks on it, two of whom are up for re-election. So, being able to use that to appeal to women voters, that was the strategy there, not any expectation of passing it.
Right.
Well, sure, but had it passed, it would have been awesome.
Well, yes.
My concern would be them not bringing that up when there is a chance of it passing, not them bringing it up when there isn't.
Right.
Because I'm in favor of that strategy of getting people out of government who are, against fixing this really horrible problem.
Yeah. Well, since it's people are arguing that it's pierced the corporate veil.
Right.
Another
thing.
These assholes who made this thing happen, they better be really careful because they've torn a hole in it. And it can't help but get bigger.
Well, not just them. It's not just them that has to be careful. It is now all corporations that have to be careful.
Yes, that's what I mean. I mean, it's like, okay, now the heads of corporations can be held accountable for what happens in the corporation, maybe.
It would be ironic if we finally had corporations made not people again,
right?
As the ultimate consequence of this problem. Yes. But we'll see, and we'll keep following.
Yes, file it under be careful what you wish for.
That was from Bruce, listener Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Naomi.
Okay, so
we'll just keep. Going back and forth.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Dennis doesn't have – he does the intro and the outro.
And he has no
outro. And I do what little commentary I can come up with, yeah.
It's an outro. Extro was a really bad science fiction movie.
That's right.
This one I like, and I feel like I might have some inherent biases on this, and so I want to check with you guys.
Now go right ahead.
I'm off base on this.
We don't make a claim of not having biases here. Go ahead.
So the headline, Urban Outfitters Lord Ganesh duvet cover upsets Hindus. Hindu critics say Urban Outfitters new duvet cover featuring Lord Ganesh is insensitive to their faith and have asked that the item be pulled. It's also ugly. The cover, available online for $129 to $169, depicts the elephant-headed Hindu deity who symbolizes wisdom. Criticism of the retailer comes barely a week after Walmart, Amazon, and Sears came under fire for selling a commemorative poster featuring a photo from the Dachau concentration camp's main gate.
Right.
Because those are the same.
Yeah.
President of the Universal Society of Hinduism has asked Urban Outfitters to take it off the market. You can put him in a frame and on the wall. That is fine, he said, but not to be put on the bed on which you lie and your feet will go on. That is very inappropriate. So the problem here apparently is the feet. He also urged Urban Outfitters to remove Lord Ganesh socks from stores in December. They responded by quickly pulling the socks and issuing an apology.
They're not Lord Ganesh socks. They're Babar socks. It's very easy to get those two mixed up.
So here's where my sticking point really is. Urban Outfitters has upset other religious groups. In 2012, the company sold a shirt that resembled the Yellow Star of David patch Jews were forced to wear in Nazi Germany.
Ooh.
And in March, the retailer was asked to remove a shirt that said, Jesus, I'm drunk, with a picture of Jesus holding a beer. So here's my thing. I feel like these are not equivalent things. I want to start singing the Sesame Street song. One of these things is not like the others. I think that in a cultural climate where any religious claims, as we were just talking about, are treated as unassailable.
Right.
Then you lose the ability to distinguish between things, like the mm-hmm. difference between mocking a deity and mocking a person. I think there is a definite difference between don't sell that because we don't want people to put their feet on our God, uh-huh. and don't sell that because it trivializes genocide. I feel like these are different things, and that's not really a religious claim just because it happens to come from Jewish groups. Like I said,
right.
something of a bias there. But I really don't see how those things get lumped together, except that, oh, we can't upset religious groups. All of their complaints are the same thing.
Right.
It's really hard to get to the bottom of the motivation behind a thing like that, right? Mm-hmm. So there was this meme going around Facebook with the it was a Monster energy drink. You seen this? Mm. The logo on the Monster energy drink, the M in Monster, is these three vertical slashes, like claws, yeah. mm-hmm.
distressed
of a monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some nitwit went and looked up the Hebrew numerals, found out that a single vertical slash is a 6. Therefore, Monster energy drink is 666.
Right, of course.
Not all vertical slashes are the same vertical slash.
Right.
Not all 6-pointed stars are Jewish religious stars. And the only way to know whether there was really any intent behind that is, you know, to ask the people, but you're asking somebody with a vested interest in covering their ass. So you're not going to ever get a straight answer. Even if they really were they made a design completely innocently. And I don't know. You're looking up the picture. It doesn't
matter.
I'm talking in a general sense, right? Maybe in that specific case it is obvious. Maybe it's superimposed on a swastika, so now we know for sure. I'm not a big fan I'm not a big fan of censorship. I'm okay with people complaining when they see things that offend them because that's free speech.
Yeah.
What I'm also okay with though is people who are not practitioners of the religion that they have insulted going F you, we're doing this and your religious views, your religious taboos do not constrain us.
Right.
Okay. I found the picture and I think you're right. That's really kind of a stretch.
Okay.
I mean, yes, it is a 6-pointed thing. Looking at it, I can say, okay, yes, if I look at it long enough, it looks a little like a Star of David. The shirt is yellow. The star is not yellow.
I mean, if someone held a copyright on that, it would be different. But
So
I have this thing. It's not illegal, but it is insensitive. That's the world for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And there is a comment in the Urban Outfitters, one that I think is interesting, where the director of education at the Hindu American Foundation says he doesn't think the duvet cover is offensive, but it worries him about the future. He says they really don't get it, and he predicted that what he called the company's hipster racism will continue. Mm. And I think that is a
hipster
reasonable...
Hipster racism?
Yeah, where...
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because if you're being ironic, then it doesn't really count. It's not really racist.
Uh-huh.
I think the cultural appropriation angle is a reasonable secular angle to go with it.
Yeah.
But the putting your feet on the duvet cover, I stand by my original reaction, which is that feet on the duvet cover... Holocaust stuff, not really the
same
thing.
Not really comparable. No.
But then there's the question of, okay, what do you consider to be evocative of Holocaust symbolism? And I would draw the line differently from where they did.
There's a realm in which I think that those kinds of concerns reasonably play out, and that is the, you know, the marketplace.
Yeah.
The reason to change the designs on your clothing items or your bed cover items can include, oh, shit, we put a thing on there that's pissing a bunch of people off. We will then choose to take it out. Or it's really only a really directly offending a small number of people, but they've got enough other people signed up, you know, protesting what we've done. Okay, fine. We're going to change
yeah,
that.
Yeah, anything that hits our bottom
line. And
I'm
okay with that, but at the same time, I just urge people to not completely flip out about everything.
Right.
Huh. It's tricky.
It is. It's tricky. It's a gray area.
Speaking of which, redheaded stepchild. Did I bring that news story in? Or did I, you know what? I just let that slide. Because I got into that situation myself, right? Last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. I used the phrase redheaded stepchild and got half of the responses saying, yeah, that's right, that's completely inappropriate, and half of the responses saying, oh, that doesn't mean what the people criticizing you think it means, but it doesn't matter. What a thing means is what we decide that it means, mm-hmm. right? And if enough people have decided that the thing means something bad that annoys them, then in the interest of not being a dick, excuse me, not being a jerk, then if you don't have to say that particular thing, that's okay. But again, urging everyone not to freak out about everything. I'm going to do another letter. In fact, this is a longer discussion one. So let's get into it. On the July 2nd episode, there was an email complaining that Brian Stieksma's song, I Am the Satellite, which opens the show, contains the line, the guy upstairs left us years ago. The writer said this implied that there was a God to begin with and thus is inappropriate for your show. When Friedrich Nietzsche said God is dead, he didn't literally mean that there had been a deity whose corpse was now rotting away. If we were to take everything in the song literally, then the line, there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day, would imply that you have hemorrhoids. That's a bit of a stretch, but I get his point.
Yeah, when a listener wraps his arm around Nietzsche.
So, I don't know if we have a lot more to say about this. I think the fair concern was, are we playing the same game when we defend lines like that in Brian Stieksma's song that Christians are playing when they defend lines in the Bible saying, well, those are just poetry, right? They may sound really, really inappropriate or wrong or bad or evil, but, oh, it doesn't really mean what it says. And I think Dennis's point was the best one, which is that we have the author of that yes. song. He's actually a guy who's alive. We know he's an atheist. We know he doesn't mean that. So we can actually play that card, the it's just poetry card, with confidence.
Right.
Right. And not be able to be accused of just doing that to keep, you know, venerating a thing that might actually be horrible.
And it's also, okay, what is the message that the poetic use of language is intending to convey? What this is putting across is the difference between, you know, this is all that there is versus the religious dogma. If you're talking about some of the more odious passages in the Bible, even if it's not literal, what is it trying to communicate?
That's a damn good point.
Yes. And songs are pretty much poetic.
Yeah, but religious songs, I think, you know, when they're not just songs, but being used, because a lot of the stuff in the Bible was written as poetic kind of stuff, right? When it's being used with the claim that there's some ultimate value to it, then I don't think you can play that card anymore. All songs, the Song of Solomon was that literally a song, or am I just? Or am I,
I don't
am
know.
I, am I accidentally confusing that? I think it's subject to special scrutiny. Whereas, you know, a guy who's not claiming that his song is the word of the, you know, the omnipotent creator of the universe, that person you can cut some slack.
It also reminds me, this was a discussion, I think, on Greta Christina's blog several years ago, trying to find secular atheist versions of idioms with religious overtones. And I remember one of the ones that she brought up was preaching to the choir. And I felt like that was actually going beyond. I can understand wanting to flush religious language mm-hmm. out if that's the thing that bothers you. I mean, I'll still say things like, oh, God forbid, just because it's really ingrained. I don't mean it. But preaching to the choir maintains its meaning even without any kind of – even if you think that preachers are completely wrong, the futility of preaching to the choir remains.
Right.
You don't have to be religious to use that as an idiom.
Right. You can remove the religious context.
Right.
And, you know, there are a lot of idioms in our language where we have largely forgotten what the original mm-hmm. meaning was anyway, but we recognize the idiom as having an inherent meaning itself. And that just goes on. I mean, there's I'm not going to be able to think of any off the top of my head, but
right.
5 minutes on the internet, you could dig up some of these things that people say, and you go, what the hell does that mean? And you can trace it back to like, 150 years ago, they used threshers.
They had
a piece on them called the blah, blah, blah.
There are people who study insects who can tell us all this stuff. Entomologists.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible to maybe go a little overboard in the atheist purity department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And going after that line in that song.
But on the other hand, now let's flip this around, right? Earlier I was saying people ought to just not get so bent out of shape. But on the other hand, if it's a thing that bothers people in the interest of not being a jerk, you could avoid doing it. Are we being a jerk to this letter writer by playing the song, which to him is offensive because it talks about – uses the G word as if there really had ever been such a dude?
This is where social context really comes into play, I think, since you're never going to be able to avoid offending or bothering anybody ever.
Yes.
You can think about the difference between, okay, this person is a member of a minority group that gets the crap end of the stick on a regular basis versus this is somebody who's just sort of idly irritated by a song.
But you can't.
We don't know how he might be really, really, really irritated.
You can't offend none of the people all of the time.
There was also an email regarding the meaning of positive atheism. I had always assumed, like Dennis, that positive atheism meant atheism that is optimistic, friendly in tone, etc., which was also the view taken by our letter writer.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Wikipedia has this to say in the article on negative and positive atheism, quote, the atheist community of Austin uses the term positive atheism in a different sense. The ACA refers to positive atheism in the sense of putting a positive face to atheism and dispelling the false and negative image of atheism portrayed by religious people, mm-hmm. especially in places of worship. Wow. Right back at us. So I would take it that since the Wikipedia is always right, that that must be literally some, you know, enshrined definition of positive atheism that connected with the atheist community.
I think we need to do some reading of a charter here.
I tell you what, though, that doesn't mean I can't think that positive atheism means what I want it to mean to me. So,
and I can still be mean spirited. So,
and that does not mean putting a positive face on atheism and dispelling the false and negative image of atheism does not necessarily mean caving and being a accommodationist,
right?
Which is the danger when you're
super
extra special nice
to be nice
to believers,
yeah.
That was from our listener, Jason. Bill in New York writes, just listening to last week's show and your discussion of positive atheism, I couldn't help but use the word positive interchangeably with evangelical.
Duh.
It allows for different methods, but promotes activism, education, and conversion. I think what he means is not that it uses different methods, but it's for a different purpose. spreading atheism instead of religion.
Right. Are we
and use the same methods, activism, education, and conversion.
Conversion. I don't think we do that.
I don't like the religious connotations, and yet at the same time, I kind of do. What do you guys think? You know, the conversion question comes up all the damn time.
Yeah.
And, you know, atheists are often accused of, you know, like the gay community, there's the atheist agenda.
I get
it. Where
they
want to turn everybody atheist.
Right.
You what, huh?
Oh, it's an old joke about conversions, and if you get, you know, you basically trade in the box tops, like, oh, I've converted 5 people to being gay, so I get a toaster, that kind of thing.
Right.
You can't be open about your point of view without the risk that somebody out there might hear your point of view and agree with it.
Right.
So the whole idea to me of conversion is it's more subtle than that. It's not like you're either trying to make your case, in which case it's conversion, or you're not, in which case it's not.
Right.
When people are talking about conversion, I think for it to be relevant, they have to be talking about an overt, organized, systematic effort.
Yeah.
To go up to people and, you know, to go door to door
and challenge
or
their religion,
hand out pamphlets, or I don't know, have public access TV shows. in a sense, I mean, this show is specifically atheists talking to other atheists.
Yeah,
you know, if there's any
pretty much
Christians listening in, you know, welcome, but this show is not for you.
Yeah. Now, when atheists come knocking on your door, then you can start making, you know, a claim that, you know, we're being evangelical, but come on.
Yeah. No, I agree, but it's a gray area.
Yeah.
There's a gray area.
Yeah, sure.
Because you can't talk about what your viewpoint is without the risk of
somebody agreeing. And,
you know,
going,
and then
my
you can
God, he's right.
So I don't know. That's not. He asked this. Bill asks what we think. Dennis, what do you think about his view that positive atheism means evangelical atheism?
No.
Okay. No.
I absolutely disagree.
Naomi.
I think if you're able to dissociate evangelical from the Christian connotations, because it is possible to be an evangelical something else.
Uh-huh.
Then there are definitely evangelical atheists out there in the sense of really wanting to
convert,
spread the word,
yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's synonymous with positive atheism.
Right.
But
and we're
I can see.
And we're not all working from the same book.
And you know what? I don't mind those people doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't have a book.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with almost any, legal means by which people express their atheism.
Right.
That's their bag, and good for them.
Now, if you're advertising a car, is that evangelism?
It's
okay.
When I have, you know, people come over to my place and we talk about, let's say, movies, and I find out there's some movie that I think is awesome that they've never seen, and then I browbeat them into staying around and watching it, I totally know that I'm being evangelical about that movie. Totally. I can tell the difference.
Wow.
I think of it more specifically about beliefs and value systems.
Okay.
That can apply to movies, too, for some people.
Yes.
Sure. My belief system is that Kill Bill 1 was awesome. Right. Kill Bill 2 kind of sucked.
Well, my value system is that the car has to go from 0 to 60 in 6 seconds.
There you go.
I don't
and know. Finally, oh, that was Bill in New York. Finally, hi, guys. Loved Jeff's definition of positive atheism.
You evangelical, you.
He loved this guy. Last week, everybody was mad at me for various things that I said. This time, I got one guy saying I did good. Loved Jeff's definition of positive atheism, i.e. ditching all the superstitious crap and moving forward to a better world for everyone's everyone. A good example of this would be getting rid of the superstition in Africa, which leads to children being tortured, abandoned, or even killed in the belief that they're witches. Unfortunately, the Vatican has just officially approved the biggest association of exorcists, thereby giving papal endorsements to the witch hunts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In this case, the atheist position, no demons, no witches, etc., would be much more positive for those poor children.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dave in the UK. Thank you, Dave.
Good point and well said.
But, you know, positive atheism does not have to mean the same thing for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Doesn't.
Just so long as the people talking about it understand what each other's definitions are.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to go look up that Wikipedia article because if
yes.
the ACA has an official definition, then maybe I'll have to
in
take it
Wikipedia.
More seriously. Maybe just for the purpose of this show, we'll have to toe that line. Okay. News. I told you that was a long one because we had a bunch of responses.
Yeah.
No, I like this one. So this comes from the UK. Muslim worker refuses to sell ham and wine to customer in Tesco. A supermarket giant has issued an apology after a Muslim worker refused to serve a customer buying ham and wine, saying he was fasting for Ramadan, which makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
Because they can't have ham and wine anytime, so I don't know why
right.
Ramadan
I don't get
would make
it. And
particularly.
If you're selling it to someone, how is that eating it? I don't – that's not.
Yeah, so
– it's insane.
She lodged a complaint after the employee at the manned till inside the express branch insisted she use the self-service checkout. She told the Times he pointed at the ham and wine in my basket and said, I can't serve you that because I'm fasting. I don't even know.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. So she told him that he should be serving customers, not turning them away. He still refused, telling her to go to self-service. She was furious. She complained to the manager who said that he backed the worker. He insisted I use the self-checkout, but said he would pass on my complaint. I'm disgusted. If he is refusing to do his job, he shouldn't be there. After calling customer services, when she got home, she was told the worker could face disciplinary action. She added, I hope he does. If he can't serve food, he shouldn't be working in a supermarket.
Yes!
Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
A spokesman for Tesco said, we're here to serve our customers, the products they choose to buy. We don't have a specific policy and take a pragmatic approach if a colleague raises concerns about a job they have been asked to do. We apologize to our customer for any inconvenience on this occasion. And I remember when conversations about conscience clauses for pharmacists
right.
first started really
oh,
coming
yeah.
up. And that was the example that we all gave. What if somebody, what if a mm-hmm. Jew or a Muslim refuses to sell somebody pork?
Right.
Right.
And they're doing it. And it
well,
is...
we have one example. And
right.
when if that was the only example in the entire world, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise for it to become a news story because it's such a cartoon of Islam.
But in principle,
yeah.
the two cannot be distinguished.
Correct.
You have a job. You have agreed to do what comes along with that job to say, no, I am not going to sell you this one particular thing. I'm going to refuse to do my job
yeah.
because I have magic beliefs. Doesn't make any more sense for the morning after pill, which is completely not capable of causing abortions.
Right.
As opposed to ham, which is completely not capable of making you go to hell.
Yep.
Okay. So let's flip this around.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're working at the local grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And some woman comes up and she's got like three or four of those Mexican like superstition candles.
Yeah.
That she wants to buy with her money.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody step in, try to help her out?
Not my job.
Why on earth would I do that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. Yep. If there's such a thing. That was the only example I could think of. Can somebody
yeah.
think of a more extreme example of abusive religious nonsense being sold as a product where you might want to not handle it because it's just so intensely
well, now,
dumb.
In my job as an artist,
yeah.
would I take a job from a Christian organization?
That's
evangelical,
different.
It is different.
That's
it is very different. It's just yeah. me I have to answer to that.
You're hired now
yeah.
at a company
mm-hmm.
and they need a picture drawn
right.
of happy people, happy smiling people coming out of a church.
Right.
Or going
if I'm working for a company that wants that, then I guess I do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or say bye-bye to my job.
Now, what I have more of a problem with is pharmacies that sell homeopathic remedies. Because I think that's a violation of their professional duties. But that's but if you are working at a pharmacy that sells those, you should not refuse to sell it to somebody, even if it's like, you know, that's really not going to help your kid's ear infection. Ear, you know, ear candling does not work, and it will not make your child more healthy.
Right.
Right.
But you can't refuse to sell it once you've accepted a position at an establishment that sells these things.
Well,
you can certainly raise your concerns to your boss.
You can refuse to sell that thing.
And then you can lose your job.
And there, you know, there are probably examples. I think if we kept hammering on it, we could probably find annoying enough things that, wow, we'd be proud of a fellow atheist putting his foot down in a situation like that and refusing to be part of it.
Right.
The difference is when we hear about the religious doing this, they usually have in the back of their mind the arrogance enough to think, oh, but I won't be fired for this.
Right.
You know.
I had a professor in college who used this as the distinguishing characteristic of civil disobedience. If you are willing to not pay your taxes or do whatever because you think it's an injustice and you want to bring it to light, then you accept the consequences of not doing that because it's part of the process. If you want to not pay your taxes and not get in trouble for it, then you are just a criminal.
Yeah, I get the impression that the religious want their cake and eat it too.
Yes.
And it's,
you know, saying my employer is doing something unethical and I won't stand for it.
Well, okay.
You know,
it's not as if this Muslim guy did this secretly, you know, and where he wasn't discovered until months later. Oh, he's been diverting all the pork shipments to other,
other
stores, and that's why that store was, you know, was habitually out of pork. It wasn't something like that. But on the other hand, he didn't, like, turn around and immediately make a big public show of it. It was the woman's protest that made the news, not his obstruction. Well, these things are more complicated just than I think that guy had the right as an individual to make whatever special rules for his own behavior that he wants, and then his employer had the right to do whatever they wanted to about that.
Yes.
Well, I mean within the law.
Yeah.
Okay. We're having some nicely
nuanced.
There's nice interrelationships between some of the letters that we had and some of the news stories we're covering.
Yes.
Nick in Australia writes, "I find it so frustrating when religious people talk so arrogantly about their certainty of God. Of course, it's worse when they claim atheists are arrogant when we simply say there's no good reason to believe."
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thought you might have some thoughts on the topic of religious people, at least Christians, hypocritical arrogance, Nick in Australia. Well, the first thing I thought of, Nick, when you wrote this letter was Christians on the subject of creationism, right? Christians getting in the faces of atheists and saying, you know, well, explain where matter came from.
Right.
Right. And if you honestly say, we don't know yet, science is still working on that, they go, aha, you can't answer that question, but I can. God did it. The arrogance there is they have no right.
Right.
They
have it's no palpable
business claiming that they know when all they've done is decided to agree with a particular religious story. That is not knowledge.
Right. And it's also hypocritical that they so desperately want the imprimatur of science to back them up.
I don't think they're necessarily doing that in that case. They just want the imprimatur of being somebody who claims to know.
Right. Right. Yes, yeah.
I don't think that
my ignorance is as good as your knowledge.
Sometimes that God did it is them thinking they're heading in the direction of science, and sometimes it isn't.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what's to be done about that. I mean, some people are going to arrogantly claim things that they can't actually possibly know.
What?
Right.
Okay.
One of my big reactions, I find that incredibly, incredibly sad, because you have a lot of people, the Bible tells us everything that we need to know. Yeah. All of the knowledge about life is in the Bible, which means they can never learn anything.
Right.
They never have new things to discover.
All the answers.
All of the stuff that's exciting about the scientific process and the refinement of knowledge and revisiting what you thought you knew and expanding the information you have available, they don't get any of that.
Yeah, they can't
that's
even
terrible.
Check to see if they're right.
There's so much that's wonderful and exciting that they have no access to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's terrible.
Yeah. So you're less concerned about the arrogance than just the damage they're doing to themselves.
In the abstract, that's my response. If I were confronted with it face to face, I would probably respond to the arrogance.
Yeah.
But with personal distance,
yeah,
I see just how fundamentally sad that worldview is, which is something that I really liked about the newest Cosmos, the Neil deGrasse Tyson uh-huh. one, where he talks about this kind of small worldview versus the more mm-hmm. cosmic and the wonders of that.
Agreed. News?
News.
Is there more?
Oh, always more.
Is there more news?
Not always.
Okay, so news is over.
Eventually things stop happening.
Only if you believe in the Bible.
Well, the heat no, death no, no, of the universe.
Heat death of the universe. Yeah. Things, well, even then. Depends what you mean by things happen, and what you mean by happening.
We will probably not still be broadcasting at that point.
Yeah, probably not.
I would expect.
I'll be here.
But breaking news, Proton A47 decayed. You know.
Yay.
Okay, this is a two-parter, or at least this is an article and then mm-hmm. its sequel.
Okay,
which I guess is a two-parter. I don't even know
ahead.
What I'm saying at this point.
Just
so,
take your two parts and we'll move on.
teen mother, and there's a comma in there. Those are two different people, not teen mother. Teen
okay.
mother launch complaint against abstinence-based sex ed. This is in Canada.
Well, good for them.
This is where people are slightly more sane. An Edmonton teen and her mother have filed a complaint with the Human Rights Commission over a high school sex education class delivered by a religious-based group.
Where does this story take place? What country?
Canada.
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 Last year, Emily Dawson, 18, took part in a two-day class delivered as part of the career and life management course at McNally High School. She was shocked by what she heard, quote, basically shaming the girls and making them gatekeepers, and meanwhile making it sound like the boys had no impulse control. The Edmonton Public School Board used the Pregnancy Care Center to conduct the course. The center is affiliated with CareNet, an American-based anti-abortion movement. We spread.
Thanks, America.
Yeah, both groups focus on advocating abstinence from sex. She says, again, I have a friend that is a lesbian, and she was asking what would happen if she didn't want to stay abstinent. And then the educator said, we're not here to talk about that.
Whoa!
So her mother tried to pull her out of the class for the second day, but the school informed her that she had to take the class in order to pass her course.
God.
So her mom sat in.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother, who
Good.
Is a single mother, said that she was shocked what students were told about families like hers, that our children are prone to depression, suicide, and juvenile delinquency.
Wow.
Yeah. Her mother, because she's got a cool mom, was also upset that the class appeared to focus on values instead of science. I don't want them in the secular school, she said. They may have a spot in the Catholic school because they are faith-based. My issue isn't with them, because there's such a wide variety of families going to these schools. Let's leave the science to the school and the values to the parents.
Right.
She started a petition, complained to the school board.
Petition.
Board officials investigated and found the course met the standards set by Alberta Education.
Well, those standards need to be changed.
Yeah, so the trustee says, in the absence of new information, I remain supportive, but the Human Rights Commission has accepted the complaint. She says she's training up her kids to respect science and demand science in their education. So this is a long haul, and I'm fully prepared to take it all the way.
Yay.
So that is part one. Part two.
Yes.
Is Christian Counseling Center no longer permitted to teach sex ed in Edmonton?
Yay.
Yay.
Yes. So they will no longer be allowed to help teach sex education classes this fall. The superintendent of Edmonton Public Schools ordered Friday. Enough concerns have been raised by parents in recent days to warrant the district's attention, even though they've been giving these presentations for almost a decade. We are asking our schools in the fall to use different presenters so that we can continue the conversation. Promising that the district will review how sex education is delivered and conduct consultations with parents. So this was really prompted by the Human Rights Commission accepting the complaint.
Right.
Excellent. Things can get done.
Yeah. Oh, so this
Well, was... in Canada.
In Canada.
And, you know, the religious people out there will continue to try to push to get their way.
Right.
Which is their right. They have the right to push to try to get their way. And it's going to be a
constant, never-ending battle.
That's right. They'll always be finding little loopholes and getting their toehold, and then winding up having a position that we might not want them to have for longer than we would want them to have it. But eventually, it gets detected, and then there's an outcry, and then it gets fixed.
Well, we don't. It's not a position we don't like. It's a position that is demonstrably false and doesn't work.
I was assuming we had our reasons for not liking it.
Yeah.
That seems to be the nature of reality.
Yeah. It's a ratchet.
It will be ongoing. It's unreasonable to think that any of these people will forever be gone. However, there might come a day when they are as rare as, you know, flat earthers.
That would be nice.
I don't know. There may well be some flat earthers out there teaching geology class somewhere, right? And but there's not nearly as many. And if we find them, we'll have to smack them down too.
Yep. My what was it? Earth sciences teacher, that's what they called it when I was in middle school, was a Jehovah's Witness, and she was very, very clear that there was her personal beliefs, and then there was what she was teaching. And if you wanted to know about her personal beliefs, you could ask her. And other than that, she's teaching what's in the textbook, she's teaching the science, and never the two shall meet. And I can completely respect that. Yep. Yeah. What I think is one of the...
I can't completely respect that. Because I don't completely respect people for believing any kind of bullshit.
Well, I respect her decisions with regard to her profession.
Right. Yeah. I suppose.
What I see is one of the fundamental conflicts when people talk about freedom of religion is that for people whose religion involves getting up in other people's business, so to speak, anything that constrains their ability to impose their religion on other people, they perceive as an imposition on their own religious freedom.
Right.
So we're like, no, we want to be free from your religion. And they're like, but I have to be free to put out my religion.
Right.
Freedom to versus freedom from. And no, you are not free to do that to me. But
I need to be free to discriminate and insult and belittle. And
yes.
Yeah.
That is the conversation we seem to be having in our culture these days.
Yeah.
And
sad.
Hopefully
to
we're
say.
Not going to spread it too much to Canada, because they deserve better than
that. Yeah, they do. They're so polite. Oh, wait, I'm furthering a stereotype. I got to stop that.
You're going to start getting complaints.
You're
from the
rude
Canadians.
Over there.
JT writes, in your last episode, you talked about a hypothetical pill that could change a person's sexuality and the idea that it might lead to greater sensitivity and compassion if anti-gay people could feel what it's like to be gay. Actually, I think, JT, it was a listener who wrote in suggesting that might be the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Basically providing a other shoe for the person to walk in. Yes.
Yeah. JT says, I disagree. What about all those preachers and politicians with long anti-gay records who turn out to be gay?
Good point.
The problem isn't that they don't understand what it's like to be attracted to someone of the same sex. The problem is that they do understand and it frightens them because of society's long-standing anti-gay bias. No discrimination against gays can't be cured with such a pill. Okay, first of all, again, I don't think we said that it could be cured, but I would point out that people who are nervous about homosexuality are not all of the ilk of fundamentalist preachers who are self-hating gays.
Right.
There are I have a friend who's as liberal as the day is long socially.
Sure.
Has no problem with people's sexual orientations generally. His son decided that he wanted to become a man. Become a woman. And this friend of mine freaked. And
right.
Not because he's some, religious lunatic, but because there really are natural aversions to things we're not personally comfortable with. And for those people, the opportunity to get a look at the other side mm-hmm. could very well be helpful.
Yeah.
Defending our other listener
yeah,
who
but it's not
suggested
gonna
cure, that.
It's not going to fix everyone.
Yeah, certainly, yes. Yeah. I think JD's point is well taken in
yes.
the case of people who have already had that experience and
yep.
and not seen the error of their ways. But it could well be useful. Hypothetically, because there's no such
yes,
thing.
Yes, right, right.
It could also just be a whole lot of fun for a lot of people.
Yes.
No, no.
We had a long and amusing conversation about some of the possibilities
yes.
last time, which you can listen to. You can hear if you listen to our previous show,
yes.
the July 2 show, I believe
yes.
that was.
Mm-hmm.
And with the news?
Okay. I was going to add on to what you were just talking
oh.
about as far as your friend. I remember when...
Oh, and by the way, my friend is getting over it. And he's very happy to be getting over it.
Good,
he realized
good.
That he didn't have any real justification. He was just scared.
Well, and so...
Didn't know what it meant.
Cher's son, Chaz Bono,
uh-huh.
was raised as Chastity Bono and then came out as being transgendered and has transitioned. And Cher, of all people, had a very difficult time with it. So if Cher, who's been like a gay community
yeah.
icon and really... If Cher has trouble with it, then and got over it, then your friend should probably not feel too bad.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
For whatever that's
not
worth.
Saying that
right.
feeling bad about such things is good.
Right.
We're saying that there are different degrees, right?
Yeah.
There is a natural level of, fear of the unknown that
mm-hmm.
that people can experience. And of course the best thing is for people to get over that
right.
and not freak out about stuff that's really not bad.
And I mean when it's your kid, it's as much this isn't what I had thought of for my child, and you have to really realign some of the thoughts and assumptions you were making about
right.
your own kid, and that's difficult.
Right.
And yes, as long as you work through it and maintain the loving connection with your child, that's the important piece.
Yep.
So, news. This one, I'm really interested to hear what you guys think of it, because I just don't know what to make of it.
I wring my hands in anticipation.
Yes. Burundi law to limit church numbers. Burundi's lower house mm-hmm. of parliament has passed a bill intended to curb the country's, quote, proliferation of churches. A government survey last year found there were 557 denominations practicing in the small Central African state. New regulations would require churches to have at least 500 members and a proper building. Evangelical churches mushroomed during and after the long ethnic-based civil war, which officially ended in 2005 after some 300,000 people had died. So the bill received the unanimous support of MPs in the National Assembly and is unlikely to face much opposition in the Senate. If no changes are made to the draft legislation, it must be signed by the president within 30 days or sent back. Churches would have a year to comply. For a foreign church to be allowed to register, it would have to show that it had 1,000 followers. Our correspondent says that it is common to see makeshift tents where worshippers gather by the side of the road on Sundays. Anyone can set themselves up as a preacher, and there have been a few scandals over the years involving some of the smaller churches, he says, to which I say, because the large churches are immune from scandal? I'm not sure how that works. Some preachers have been accused of manipulating or abusing their followers.
No, really?
And again, I say, I don't know how this is a small congregation thing. One reported case involved a preacher who said that barren women wanting to conceive should sleep with him.
Oh, that's one way to solve it.
Yeah.
So I'm just, unfortunately, the story doesn't say anything about why.
Yeah, and I'm betting the situation is really complex.
Sure, but I've got a bazillion questions.
Yeah.
First of all, 500 seems quite a high bar. Maybe in that country, it's not hard to get 500 people together to start a new church. But so I don't know. I don't know how to judge
that. I just wonder
why
there should be a bar at all. Yeah.
Yes, there's this whole question of registering. What do they get for registering? That, because
the ability to be a religion?
Whole separation of church and state thing, maybe they don't have that there, and the way that they don't separate it is you got to register. And that raises all kinds of questions for me of, what are the other requirements, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can non-Christian religions get registered? Can secular organizations get registered?
And if you're not registered,
and what do you get for being registered? Yeah, what happens to you if you're not registered?
If you're not registered and you don't have 500 people and you still have a church,
are they going to bust you?
That can't be a church? What does that mean?
Yeah, the church police come in.
Yeah, what the heck?
And bust you.
Yeah,
And then they double the requirement for foreign churches? What does that mean?
That means that a lot of countries are very wary of Westerners coming in, and
on a certain level, they damn well should be. But
and are they gonna? Is this only for new religions that come up, or is this grandfathered into everything?
And if a church, buds off another branch, is that a new church?
Right.
Or is that because does it get is it get
and if that lowers their the and ones? If that lowers the population of the old church to below 500, does it suddenly lose its
what if
its
one of these churches changes its beliefs?
I don't know.
Right? What if it mutates as they do over time?
You know
time,
what I think
right?
they should have done? I think they should have created a massively multiplayer online game that simulates this behavior just to accommodate all the situations that are going to occur.
Yeah, I just don't know what to think of this. In the most basic terms, it sounds like it's a bad thing going on there where the government is sticking its nose into religious affairs, and I'm immediately suspicious that what has actually happened is the established churches have gone to the government and said, okay, now we'd like our monopoly, please.
Right.
And because that bar is so high.
I don't know this for sure. I'm just going to
– Go ahead and speculate.
Can
we don't
speculate?
Know. Sure.
During
you
the Civil War –
You just can't prophesy because
the people are vulnerable. And I wonder how many U.S.-based churches are there now.
Already there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they're going, oh, no, we want our monopoly now. Yeah. Evangelicals from U.S. coming there to set up churches. That's – I don't know for sure, but from what I've heard about places like that, that shit happens. And a civil war makes them vulnerable, especially vulnerable.
I'm trying to look up other news articles, and I haven't found anything that sheds any light
more about
on
that.
What's going
well,
on.
Well, I'll do another short letter while you're looking that up, unless you want to be involved in this discussion. Regarding fake nudity.
Fake nudity.
There actually is fake nudity in adult primetime cable shows such as Game of Thrones, Spartacus, and the like. I was shocked myself when my wife told me that all the nudity you see is just very good prosthetics. There are actually not breasts or penises showing in these shows, claims Lance. Well, Lance, thank you very much for your letter. I got on the internet machine and I really, really tried to find any support for your wife's claim and I couldn't find it. What I found is that Game of Thrones has actually hired porn starlets to in some of the major roles. And by the way, there are some good actresses that they have found in the porn community. And also that there have been actresses who have left the show having signed up under the understanding that they would not have to do nude and then were asked to do nude and they left the series. Now, if nude means strapping on some fake mammaries, it could be just so embarrassing they couldn't handle
maybe.
It, or it could be that your wife's not right. I don't know. I mean, I was a little nervous about our discussion about this last week in the first place because, you know, here's three young men discussing a show where, frankly, a lot of the draw is the nudity. I don't consider that particularly a good thing, but I don't think you'd consider it an evil thing either. So here we are back again. Thanks, Lance.
Like is sort of the thing that it sounds like somebody was pulling someone's leg. But that's pure speculation.
I don't think we want to intrude in Lance's relationship with his wife by speculating. I'm sure his wife was herself honestly misinformed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just that I remember the comic strip where the father told the kid that, oh, no, before, 1952, the world was black and white, and that's why we only have black and white photos from that period.
Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes, I remember that one.
All right. Well, so there you go. News?
Cool.
News. Okay.
Nudes?
Nudes? Any nude news?
There are no nudes on my phone.
Okay. They'd be fake anyway.
They'd be very, very small on this phone, so you wouldn't be able to tell. Polish doctor dismissed in abortion refusal case. So this is the flip side of what we were talking about earlier. A Polish doctor who refused on faith grounds to perform an abortion on a woman has been dismissed, Warsaw's mayor says. The patient who requested the termination after being told her child's chances of survival because of facial and head defects were slim subsequently delivered the child. The doctor has disputed the findings of an inquiry and may appeal. His dismissal, of course, has been condemned by the Catholic Church in Poland. The baby is reportedly in intensive care with severe skull and brain deformities.
Oh, man.
Well, the Catholic Church can suck it up.
So, according to the mayor, the doctor failed to inform the mother that the procedure would be illegal after 24 weeks, nor where else she could go to have it. So she's ending his contract as director of the city's Holy Family Hospital because of irregularities in the case.
Huh.
Under Polish law, abortions are allowed until the 25th week of pregnancy if the life of the expectant mother or her child is at risk or in cases of incest or rape. So even with
that very narrow... reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, not to me.
Well, it's not reasonable. You want to go more than 25 weeks?
That it's only allowed if the life of the expectant mother or her child is at risk or in cases of incest.
Even for the first 25 days.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so those aren't exceptions
weeks.
To the 25th.
We didn't read properly between the lines.
So he was within his rights to refuse the procedure because it conflicted with his Catholic faith, but the authorities said he was legally obliged to refer the patient to another doctor prepared to carry one out.
Okay.
Right, which is exactly the kind of crap that religious people are arguing for here in the U.S. is the right to completely interfere with other people's lives.
Misinform them, anything.
And yeah. As he says, and since he says it, you know it must be true, the decision is the start of an attack on the conscience of doctors and people in management positions in the health service.
No. Your position is the start of an attack on the public's right to make their own damn decisions.
Right.
And the archbishop there said the dismissal was a dangerous precedent that violates the rights not just of Catholics, but of everyone. I'm really not sure what other people's rights are being violated there.
Give me
there.
A freaking example.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that arrogance that that Nick was talking about. That's not the interests of the Catholic Church are not just the interests of the Catholic Church. They're everybody's interest because we have set ourselves up as the guys who get to decide what's best for everyone.
Right.
So anytime you're against us, you're against everyone.
Right.
You bastard.
You're against morality itself. Yeah. Because we've hijacked that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that was a moment of silence.
Yes.
We don't like to have those on the show.
No silence.
Hey, Dennis, Jeff, Russell.
Yeah.
I guess I can't participate then.
Naomi. No. I'm splicing you in right now, Naomi. I've been listening to your show since last year, and I started digging into the archives a while ago and noticed Matt was on the nonprofits for years as co-host.
Yes.
Does he have any plans on making another appearance? I realize the nonprofits is an all-volunteer effort, and you all have lives outside of radio and television, but it would be nice to hear Matt and Schilling join the discussion again, even if they only made guest appearances every now and then. Well, after its long hiatus, when we decided to reactivate the nonprofits show. When I decided to reactivate the nonprofit show, because I don't want to take responsibility, I made a big push to make this happen. The first thing we did is we sat down and we talked about what our format was going to be. And we are not a show that has guests, and we're not a show that takes calls. We are not as a regular thing.
Okay.
We are a show that has occasional people coming in. And the purpose of your visits, Naomi, was honestly tryouts so we could expand our base of hosts, not so we could go into a rotation like the Atheist Experience has got, but just so that every once in a while one of us can take a break like Russell's
today.
Doing because he has something else he has to do, right? That's how we do things here. Matt hasn't been asked because we're not that kind of show. That's the answer to your question.
We could technically have Matt here in the same functions we have Naomi.
Sure. Though we have made an effort, actually a conscious effort, to have female alternates, because we realized when we decided who were going to be the cast of the reconstituted show, right?
Yep.
Who was that going to be? We went back to this core group, me, Russell, and Dennis. If you go back to the ancient nonprofits page, there's a picture of the three of us from many years ago. We're much older than that now, doing the nonprofits. And immediately realized, hey, you know, this this is a sausage festival.
Right.
And so we're making an effort to try to minimize that.
Yeah. Plus,
again,
Matt's becoming
not
a bigger name in the
atheist
community.
It's not that any of those people are necessarily unwelcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a conscious effort to exclude anyone. It's we have come up with a format, and we have specific concerns we're addressing, and this is the way it's turning out.
Matt's too big now. He's jet-setting around, going to various debates and things. It's like
don't go there, man.
You wouldn't deign to come down to a little podunk program like ours.
You're going there. You're continuing to go there. Keep up the great work, and Jeff, don't listen to anyone that says that the voice acting is terrible. Keep doing it, he says. And you two, Russell and Dennis. See, NM, I'm sorry, Ian in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is encouraging you and Russell and Naomi. By all means, if you feel a fictitious character voice coming on, by all means, just jump in and be a made-up person.
See,
we have those all the time.
At all good at impressions, I'd have been pretending to be Russell this whole time.
But I think Ian's point is that you don't have to be any good at it. He likes it anyway.
Yeah.
It's honestly one of my favorite parts of the show, he says. Thank you, Ian. All right.
Well, we've got
back to a little bit more news, right?
I was going to say we've got 10 minutes to go, and there hasn't been any voice acting yet, so.
We don't. Yes. It's
We've just gotten a
call.
They're busy. Pat Robertson's busy. The well-behaved Mormon woman is. I'm sure she's out taking in some more movies. I understand there's some naked apes in the new Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah.
Oh God!
She has got to go take a good hard look at with her grandchildren.
I've got an article here.
And Russell's not here to do, what's his name, the Australian creationist guy.
Right.
Ham?
Ken Ham.
Yeah.
Going back a little bit to the Burundi piece,
Wait a minute. I wonder if Mormons would refuse to serve Ken Ham. No, go ahead, sorry.
Mormons?
Mormons eat
not
ham.
Mormons, you mean Muslims. Sorry.
Muslims.
Great, I screw up my gag.
And Mormons, too.
This is coming out of L.A. Pastor, church members plead guilty to beating 13-year-old boy. Unfortunately, there isn't any information in here about whether the congregation is 500 people or larger.
Right.
The pastor and two members of a Corona church pleaded guilty Monday to state charges of beating and threatening the life of a 13-year-old boy who was forced to dig his own grave, authorities said. I am not going to read through the whole list of everything that they did to him, because that's just really upsetting and unpleasant. What's kind of interesting to me is that it doesn't say anything about why they did this.
So not an exorcism gone wrong?
No, it doesn't. I mean, one of the times that they did terrible stuff to him was at a Bible study, but there's no, I mean, some of it might have just been straight up disciplinary action. It says that.
Was he asking unfortunate questions?
It says the boy, his mother and sister were members of this guy's church. His mother and sister lived in a women's group home, but the boy said he had been moved to the men's home as a disciplinary action, which men's home, women's home, is this a standard thing?
Is this disturbing.
A troubled family? I really don't know. Remmers entered guilty pleas to inflicting bodily injury on a child and assault with a deadly weapon. He will receive a sentence of up to 2 years in state prison.
Good.
Damn.
2 years? 2 years, yes.
It's not enough, but still.
Yeah, that was my
feeling. I have an idea. How about you first have him dig his own grave?
Yeah. They're religious. They agree with an eye for an eye, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certainly they couldn't find eye for an eye objectionable.
And I'm sorry, where again did this take place?
This was in L.A. This was the heart of Worship Community Church.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My immediate...
I'm not too troubled by the fact that they didn't say why, because what difference would that make?
Right. Well, we could have the joy of watching them tie themselves in knots, trying to defend themselves.
He was actually a demonic creature that was going to take over the world, Your Honor.
He's the Antichrist.
Well, you could make an argument like that. That if true. You know, it's like what I like to say about the Holocaust. If the Jews had been an actual race of subhuman monstrosities trying to take over the world, he might argue that extreme measures in the self-defense of mankind could be justified. The problem with what Hitler did is that he was wrong. It's hard to imagine an accurate explanation for this treatment of this little boy that would justify. In fact, I can't think of one.
And frankly, even self-defense doesn't really justify like forced labor camps and torture and things like that. But don't we know?
It'd have to, they could be really, really, really bad creatures.
So?
Okay, well, we can have that whole discussion at some point. I bring that up to make a point.
I know.
All right, then.
Accuracy counts.
We've got,
yeah.
Well, by my watch, we have 7 minutes to go. What do we have to talk
Yikes.
About? Do you have more news? Is there any more?
I'm sure there is. Oh, this isn't news, but this is something that I found really, really funny. That
all right.
Somebody posted to the nonprofits news hashtag. This is a piece up on a website called Charisma News. So this is a super, super Christian kind of out there site.
Is this shit internet apologists say?
Scientists, colon, oh, okay. Atheists may not exist. Seriously.
Oh, this.
Oh, boy.
Good grief. Yeah, I saw this stupid thing.
What is this?
No, it's hilarious. For some, God doesn't believe in atheists is just a clever, or not so clever, jab directed against the faithless in our culture. But based on the findings of secular researchers, the statement may not be so far from reality. Basically, what it boils down to is that the human brain works in certain ways that we have decided mean that somebody is actually religious, even if they say that they're not. So even atheists hold to several tacitly religious concepts, including the existence of an immortal soul, according to Lawton. Not any of the ones that I know.
Oh, God. All right. So this is complete and utter bullcrap.
I haven't even gotten to the best part yet.
Okay.
The article also cites another atheist researcher who demonstrated that all people engage in internal monologue, regardless of whether the person to whom their thoughts are directed is actually present. Which is clearly incompatible with not believing
okay,
in
so
God.
that's a huge stretch.
Yeah.
I just want to.
It's that arrogance again.
It is true that we have inherited brains that have some built-in mechanisms that result in certain behaviors that are not entirely rational. For example, I have a thing that I experience where every once in a while I notice that the clock is at 3:16, which is a Bible number,
yes.
Right? At some point in the over the last few decades, that happened to me once, and I made the connection in my brain. Oh, that's a Bible verse. And now, whenever it happens, my brain reacts to that more. As if it was significant. Mm-hmm. The difference is that it's not that because I have that reaction, therefore I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I choose to consciously respond to that reaction. That is what I believe, not the stupid shit my brain does. We have gotten emails from people watching the TV show and who have talked about that they have mental conditions where they hear voices or, you know, have experienced various other symptoms, but they are atheists because they realize that stuff is not magical supernatural creatures,
mm-hmm.
right? That
right.
is what's important. So first of all, right off the bat, this crap about it's how the brain works is bullshit. A person's an atheist if they say that they don't believe in a God, if they say they don't believe in a God. Doesn't matter if they occasionally have little feelings that things might be going on, right? Bullshit. I know people who have those feelings, still have those feelings mm-hmm. that they formerly identified as evidence of the presence of some supernatural power. They have now reinterpreted that. Feelings haven't gone away. They've become an atheist.
Right.
That's bullshit. And this stretch, what was that thing that he's
the internal monologue.
Just because it's convenient to think things, you know, back and forth in your mind, imagine conversations. That's just normal human experience. But this idiot is assuming that if you have an internal monologue, then you believe that that one of the speakers in the internal monologue is God. Bullshit. You believe it's God if you say you believe it's God.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen this before where theists will try to expand the definition of God or divinity or something to the point like
– What a jackass. You know, like, what is the name of this particular jackass, by the way, so I can look out for him?
Alex Kochman.
Okay.
K-O-C-M-A-N. I don't know that you'll ever run across him again. But you have things like, oh, God is love. So how can you not believe in God?
Oh,
because
brother.
I reject your definition.
Yeah, because you've hijacked the word.
Yeah. So people have a lot invested in mm-hmm. trying to, oh, you can't possibly really be atheist. Of course, what this then goes on to say, while this particular researcher attempts to connect all these theistic proclivities to an evolutionary source, missing one key bit of evidence, it is the biblical Christian worldview, not the secular humanist worldview, which accurately predicts a human bent towards belief in God. So basically, the Bible says...
Bullshit! Oh, good grief!
No. So the Bible says that all men know God, so... Clearly, all men know God.
Oh, that bullshit.
I think we can have that little meme with Dr. Evil with his little what are those scare quotes?
Saying, yeah.
Researcher. Yes.
Well, the researcher, what this is the writer saying that the researcher uh-huh. didn't go far enough. This
right.
is the researcher
oh,
saying.
Right. Yeah. Here, I'm going to reinterpret to his research. Yeah.
All right. Is that...
Wow.
I think we're done with that.
Yeah.
Think so?
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. Dennis, can you ready to take us out?
I think so.
Go ahead.
And that was
Bye,
our
everyone.
Show. You can uncover your ears and open your eyes once again, the better to see the approaching storm of God's retribution. And if the Lord chooses to delay the righteous coming of our Savior Jesus Christ for 3 more weeks, we'll be back with another episode on the 6th of August. Until that day, wallow in the filth of I Am the Satellite by Brian Stieksma. Because you've got your church, you gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't